Nikki, thank you very much indeed for the introduction. Thank you for the invitation. It's really, really lovely to be here. It's a real treat to escape from my usual parishes and see some new faces. So thank you for having me. Tim might have a kill switch for the microphone if I go on too long. No? I'm okay. So what I'd like to do this morning is start off by, before we get to our readings, we're going to sort of intersperse our readings through my reflections this morning, because there are three readings that I would like us to spend a little bit of time reflecting on and considering. But I'd like to start, if I may, by asking you to think about tents, you know, those canvas things that you sort of pitch up and perhaps stay in, if that's your thing. If you're an avid camper, this morning's sermon might just sort of raise your pulse. If you're not, then just bear with me. I have a mixed relationship with tents. I don't particularly like sleeping in them, if I'm honest. I much prefer a large, very comfortable bed with a roof and glass in the window and heating. But our youngest daughter is quite into being outside, and so we occasionally sort of camp in the garden with her. But I have a very mixed relationship with tents. So my primary place in which I encounter tents is when I go motor racing. Motor racing is my great passion. It's where I go to sort of escape from the pressures and the stresses of day-to-day life. And when we go motor racing, we put up enormous tents. I mean, they're sort of 6 metres square, and we have about three of them, and they all have really big, heavy-duty things. And we put them up, and then we run the cars from underneath these tents. And every single time I touch one of these tents, every single time I'm tasked with putting one up, it causes me some sort of injury. So every single tent experience of mine has been negative. Trapped fingers, things falling on my head, water. You know when they collect water and you poke it? No matter where I poke it from, somehow the water always finds a way to end up on me. So I don't have a great love of tents. But it may interest you to know that tents appear in quite a lot of places in the scriptures. In various places, we get instances of tents being pitched, people setting down roots, people staying put and living out their lives in tents. There are all sorts of festivals in the Old Testament in particular which happen in tents. And of course, the Old Testament people were a people who spent a lot of their time living from tents. So, what I'd like to do briefly this morning is have a think about how our lives as Christians, how our lives as disciples might be enriched, and how we might be encouraged as we think about tents. The reason I chose this topic is because I think that in a time where the world feels quite dislocated, in a time when life feels, I would say, fairly unpredictable on all sorts of different levels, whether it's the geopolitical or economic or whatever, life feels pretty unpredictable. In a time when, I would say, there's quite a lot of unsettledness around, I think tents have something to teach us. I think they can help us to think a little bit about how we might live out the settledness and the stability that comes from a life lived with Jesus. You see, in the scriptures, when we see tents, they imply all sorts of different things. Tents imply often the presence of God. They often suggest a place of safety. Quite often they're places where God is encountered in worship. Tents in the scriptures have kind of this overtone of being at home, a commitment to a place, a commitment to a people, a rootedness and a settledness. And I think those things are actually quite important. So let's do the spiritual equivalent of walking through the door of go outdoors and see what we might learn from tents. So if we can have our first reading, that would be wonderful. The first reading, Tanya, thank you, is from John 1, verse 14.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Thank you very much. So this is the first and most obvious place to start, I think, when we come to reflecting on tents and what they might teach us. The profound and yet at the same time quite simple truth that the writer of John's Gospel manages to capture in this verse. The idea that in Jesus, God quite literally pitches his tent among us. That God, through Jesus, establishes his home alongside us. That God comes down and in Christ makes his home in the very heart and in the midst of his creation and alongside you and me. It's as though God pitches his tent in our garden and says, well, here I am and I'm here to stay. It's quite a mysterious thing in some senses, but it is, I think, a very significant thing. The idea that God would pitch his tent in the same dust and mess and muck of day-to-day life that we have to face and endure as a demonstration of the closeness of his presence with us. God says, I'll pitch my tent here, right next to you, right alongside you, in the midst of all that goes on in this creation. This will be my home. It says that God is present not in fleeting and occasional ways, but that he is present in a full and a permanent and a settled way. God pitches his tent next to us, in the midst of this life, in the midst of this world. It means, I think, in the words of somebody who's far more profound than me, that being said, if God's tent is here with us, if God cannot be found then in the here and now, then God cannot be found anywhere, because he is fully here now. So God pitches his tent with us in the midst of this world and this life. So let's jump to our second reading, if we may, which is from Exodus chapter 40. Tanya, thank you.
Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on each stage of their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel at each stage of their journey.
Tanya, thank you so much. So, the tent of meeting, the place where the presence of God was seen to dwell as the Israelites went about their wilderness wanderings. Really vivid example of God pitching his tent with his people. This is a people who were not, in one sense, at home. A people who were out in the wilderness, wandering, preparing to enter a place where they could be at home. But long before getting home, God's presence is with them. The place where God dwells, the tent of meeting, is with them. It went everywhere with them. God's presence led them and guided them through all of the wanderings, taking them through uncharted territory, through times of unsettledness, through times of change. God could be known and God could be worshipped because his tent was pitched with his people. So we have a great tradition of this sense of God pitching his tent with us. And as God pitches his tent with us, we have a place to worship. We have a presence to worship. We have a guide to walk with us through the mess and the confusion and the unsettledness of this life. Because God pitches his tent with us, even when we're not at home, we are still at home. For the Israelites, as they wandered, they knew where they wanted to be, they knew where home was. But even through the midst of their wilderness wanderings, they were at home because God was with them. When God pitches his tent with us, home becomes wherever we are, because we are always at home when we're with God, no matter when and where, no matter where that is. And this brings us to our third reading. Tanya, thank you, if you would, from Jeremiah chapter 29.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, that in its welfare you will find your welfare.
Tanya, thank you so much. God pitches his tent with his people, dwells amongst them. And so even when we are not at home, we are at home, because home is wherever God is. In this reading, God's people are in exile. They've wandered the wilderness, they've found home, and they've been ripped out of home. Another season of unsettledness, another season of unpredictability, another season of feeling far from home. And yet, the presence of God goes with them. And so, even though they are not at home, they are still at home, because God is still with them. And so, we hear this instruction to pitch their own tents, as it were, to settle down in a place that may not feel like home. To pitch the tent, to plant the gardens, to be fully present and fully invested in daily life in that place. Sometimes when we don't feel at home, we think of ourselves as being in exile. Sometimes we talk about the whole of the Christian life as being in exile, of not being in our heavenly home, of passing through a strange land. And that's okay, but sometimes I think that's a little unhelpful. We are pilgrims. We are focused on what is to come, but not at the expense of the here and the now. If this little passage tells us anything, it is perhaps, I think, that we can be exiles whilst being fully invested in the places and with the people with whom we live. Home is here and home is now. God has pitched his tent with us, and so we pitch our tents wherever we find ourselves, investing fully and completely in the places and the people that are around at any given time and in any given place. It's an invitation, I think, to be fully present as we acknowledge God's presence with us and to commit to where we are, holding nothing back, but investing ourselves fully in the places and with the people amongst which we find ourselves. Even when the world feels like a foreign land, in the seasons of unpredictability and unsettledness, and things feel as though they may go any one of many different directions. This is a place where God has pitched his tent amongst us, and the place where we then pitch our tents and are at home. The Benedictine tradition, which I love, I think the kind of old monastic traditions have some really interesting things to teach us. Picks up this idea of being fully at home wherever we are in its discipline of stability. Stability is all about staying put, of being rooted and fully invested in the place that we find ourselves and with the people that we live alongside. It's about not looking to encounter God somewhere else and assuming that God will be more present or more known somewhere else, because God is fully knowable and fully present wherever we are, because he's pitched his tent. And that being so, we can then, if you like, pitch our tents and be fully at home. So I wonder whether, in a time of quite a lot of dislocation, in a time of a huge amount of unpredictability and unsettledness, whether that's on the global stage, whether that's in trade, in national political debate, whether it's in personal relationships or just that societal undercurrent, whether this has something important to say to us. Because God has pitched his tent with us, wherever we are at home. And if we're at home, then we can be fully invested in the places and with the people that we live alongside, for the sake of the gospel, as a means of blessing, that in that settledness and in that stability, we might make the kingdom of God known and the presence of God more fully understood. God has pitched his tent right in the midst of our world and our lives. He is knowable in the here, and he's knowable now, wherever here and now is. We are always at home because we are at home with God. And the stability and the settledness of that means that we can be fully, fully committed to the places and the people amongst whom we live. And that's how I think the kingdom of God finds its expression. And that's how I think, particularly in rural communities, which tend to be more settled and more stable, the church is able to so effectively live out the commission and the call that we have. So can I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have pitched your tent with us and alongside us, that you are knowable here and you are knowable now. And we thank you, Lord, that because we are at home with you, so we can pitch our tents wherever we find ourselves and know that we are at home. And that being at home, being settled, being stable, we can be the blessing that you call us to be to the communities of which we're a part and the people with whom we share our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.